I mean, personal topics,
yeah.
You know, abandonment, forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of good stuff.
We just started a new series again last week. Betty, you called in, and what a blessing that was that you did. We love it when people call in. The new series is called Boundaries again. We did that maybe 5 years ago, but we just felt very led to do it again. Do you want to talk about that real briefly before we get up here to the top of the hour? Whoa, wait a minute. Actually, I'll come back to you in a second. I didn't realize what time it was. So we got to do this first, and then, Betty, I will let you talk about that. And we're glad every one of you are listening today to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we got to do station ID right now.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Time flies when you're having fun on this radio show, this two-hour show. It flies by. So, Betty, you want to comment on this new series, Boundaries, on Thursday nights, 6:06 p.m., right here on the same radio station.
Well, one of the things I think that Boundaries does is that it gives us a timeline to go by. One of the reasons why I called in last Thursday was because I wanted to offer an opinion on the differences in some of the boundaries that we set. You know,
right.
One of them is for strict discipline. The other is for commitment. And the other is was like on friendship, a friendship with your children. You know, when you can and when you can't, how difficult it is to be able to draw those boundaries and be able to stand as a parent. And it was so enlightening to hear the difference in the boundaries that we as parents and we as maybe colleagues or whatever, you have to set boundaries in different areas of your life. And it was just very enlightening to be able to have something, to be able to share that light and be able to kind of jumble through all of the confusion that can happen when you set boundaries. But it is important. And I encourage anyone to listen to that program on Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. because it will give you some great insight on some of the problems and the emotions that we go through in daily life.
Amen.
As parents and grandparents.
Absolutely. And thank you for talking about that. Our show on Thursday night is called Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life. You can go right here to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, and hit the little blue internet link, Internet Pros. It'll open up the names of all the shows here, which there's a lot of shows on tantalknetwork.com. This one on Sunday afternoon is called Living the Good Life. The one on Thursday night is called Go Yard. Go there and you'll open up the podcast page and you can catch shows you've missed. Oh, or go to our two websites, bohmglobal.com. And for Go Yard, it's goyard2014.org. It's an O-R-G. So we encourage you to listen live on Thursday nights or catch podcasts that you've missed. And, of course, always catch on to the shows on here on Sunday afternoon if you have missed some by going to the same place and going to our website, bohmglobal.com. So with all that said, it's a joy to be able to be in this series, Promised Land. Promised Land is not just about the Israelites 3,200 years ago when they were conquering land. It is about us now conquering the effects and the work of the devil that he throws at us through well-meaning people sometimes, through just the circumstances of life. What is Promised Land all about? Why are we doing this, PJ? What's this all about?
Well, I'm going to give the folks a preview of something that may be coming up. Your next book.
Yes.
It's all about taking territory.
It's taking territory.
And, you know, the promise was to Joshua, wherever the sole of your foot rests,
yeah,
that's it.
And you got it.
Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So wherever we go, we take the kingdom with us.
Exactly.
We can expand the kingdom of God. That's our territory.
Right.
And I'm not talking any sort of political kingdom or anything like that. But where the light of God shines in,
right,
Satan's dominion ends.
Yes, yes.
And we take that kingdom back from him.
Amen.
One of the devotionals that I use brought up a really interesting point. Adam and Eve were told to, fill the earth and subdue it. They were in the Garden of Eden. So what was outside the garden? I don't know. But it needed to be subdued.
Right.
That was, that would have been their territory taking. Of course, that kind of got thwarted.
Yeah.
The same thing with the Israelites. They had to take that territory physically.
Yes.
We have territory we have to take
spiritually,
which is healing the sick,
right,
delivering those that are possessed of devils.
Right. You're just talking the outline of my new book.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's good. No, okay. This is great. I mean, you're exactly right about this.
You know, it's not just evangelism.
No.
That's only half of it.
Yeah.
If we only talk about that as being the kingdom of God, we're missing out on the rest of it.
All the rest of it, yes.
One of my favorite verses is Matthew 9:35.
Me too.
Jesus went out and preached the kingdom, healed the sick, delivered those that were demon-possessed.
Right.
He brought the kingdom in power. That's what we need to do. That's how we take territory.
Amen.
And, yeah, it does take endurance because...
Endurance.
You know, Satan lost at the cross and the resurrection.
Right.
He lost. Jesus said, I took the keys of death and Hades from
him. Amen.
He got nothing no more except his mouth.
Yeah.
And, again, who are we going to listen to?
Right.
Because... He's already defeated. He can talk us out of our victory, but we don't fight for victory. This is also in a devotional. We fight from victory.
You are really doing a great job of talking a good talk about my new book. That'll be book number 5 that will be out before Christmas. Book number 4 is out. And 2 weeks from today, we will talk more about that as we dedicate that book. The books are on order now, and from the publisher, they will be on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and we'll tell you more about that next week and 2 weeks from today, and it is entitled Strength for the Fight, and that's the preamble, really, to all this territory taking. So it's just, God's just bringing it all together, and we're excited about that. We're glad every one of you are joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I want to play this song that's been on my heart the last few days. It's a Selah. It's a Selah song. It's called I Bless Your Name because, you know, it's all about the name of Jesus. It's all about the name of Jesus. It is. It is. Let this song bless you. One of my favorites.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to see their chains were. You are the light.
Praise God. You are the life, the truth, the way. That's who he is, the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for that wonderful song, Selah. That, I just love that song. Let's go to Joshua 14, and we're going back to this talk that Caleb is having with Joshua. And we're down into about verse 13, maybe 12, 11. And Joshua is Caleb's come to him and says, hey, Joshua, do you remember back then, when that happened, like the 45 years ago, and you and I were the only two spies that gave the good report? You remember that? Joshua, yeah, I remember. And he said, look at me now. He said, and we think Joshua was the same age. He says, here, I am 85 years old. I love this. For those of you who think that 60 is old and whatever, listen to this. He says, Caleb says, it's now 45 years since God spoke this word to Moses. What verse am I in, Pastor Jim, of Joshua 14? 45 years since God spoke to Moses. It should be about verse...
I was 40 years when... Verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me. Well, that sent me from Kadesh Barnea.
Right. So on down there, maybe verse... What?
Verse 10.
10. Okay. It's now 45 years since God spoke this word to Moses, years in which Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, we know the last five of those years was the conquering years. And here I am today, 85 years old. I'm so weak. I'm so feeble. I can't sit up. Was that his attitude?
Not according to verse 11.
Oh, did I get that wrong? What does verse 11 say, Pastor Jim?
I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out.
45 years before, 85-year-old Caleb is as strong as he was when he was 40?
I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then.
Woo! All right. Me too. Moses sent me out. I'm as strong as ever in battle, with whether coming or going. So give me this hill country now. Caleb is claiming his inheritance. And he says, give me this hill country that God promised me. You yourself heard the report that the Anakim were there with their great fortress cities. If God goes with me, I will drive them out, just as God said. And Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb. And as an inheritance, Hebron belongs to Caleb still today because verse 14, Joshua 14:14, Hebron still belongs to Caleb because he gave himself totally to God, the God of Israel. And here's where so many people miss the mark. It can be like one of those 10 spies and their negativity, or they can be like, we can be like Joshua and Caleb and believe that when God tells us something, he tells us the truth. Betty, talk about that, and then we're going to go to Jim on this. He gave himself totally to God. Betty?
Sold out.
I surrender all.
That's right. Exactly. It's amazing what God will do when you surrender all, when you start to give him the first of everything. And the thing that God inhabits the praises of his people. And that's where we have got to say, Lord God, you take control of my life, just like he did right here in the passage that you just read. God promised me. And that's what he held out for. That's what he said. Okay, God, I believe he was totally sold out. He was saying, God, even though I'm 87 years old, I would say he was 87 years young back then, because he had the tenacity, he had the spirit of God in him, and he said, "Whatever it takes, I'm your man."
Woo!
And that's exactly what we have to say today. That's what it just seems like. It's a resounding sound of. People, we have got to become awake. We have got to step out of our comfort zone. We have got to come alive. These dry bones are going to have to start to come together.
Amen.
Because people, we've got a lot of work yes. to do. And just like they did back then, let's, you know, just take it and say, let's drive him out just as God said. But again, he gave himself totally to God, the God of Israel.
Yes, he did.
And you know what? God is still the God of Israel. He is our God. He is your God, listening audience. And we have to become persistent when it comes to the war of the mind. We have got to keep on keeping on that, you know, we do have a race to win just like they did back then. And again, we have got to say to the devil, get thee behind me, resist him, and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like Amen. Your book, you know, the new book, in the process coming out, is we are going to take back the
yes.
territory
yes.
that Satan has stolen.
Absolutely,
stolen
we are.
It. So
we
people,
are.
Get ready, because we're ready to march. We're ready to go forward.
Absolutely. And in a couple weeks, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of the fourth one, which is now just being released by the publisher, Strength for the Fight, because you got to have that strength. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. We're going to Psalm 37, and it goes so along with this. And David was absolutely, he wrote this, David had been through many, many battles and many times where he had an opportunity to be defeated, an opportunity to give up and just crawl back in his little bed and, you know, forget that he was supposed to be taking territory for God. David was a soldier. He was a soldier in the army of the Lord. People, that is what God is looking for now. He's looking for people who will be soldiers, who will rise up and will say, you know what? I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways, I trust him. Talk to us, PJ. Woo, I love this. Psalm 37, this psalm of David is one of my favorites.
The whole psalm is wonderful.
It's just totally great.
Because I love the way it starts out. You know,
it's 40 verses, by the way.
Yeah. I love the way it starts, especially in the King James. Fret not thyself.
Fret not thyself. That sounds like something you would say to us.
I know. Fret not thyself. Do not fret because of those who are evil. And, you know, that actually goes along with what the apostle and the bishop were talking mm-hmm. about. The service. Well, yeah, it kind of was the service in their program before us. We don't need to get all upset.
No.
Because of everything we see going on.
Right.
It says later on, do not fret. It only leads to evil.
Right.
You know, fret is worry.
Mm-hmm.
And that worry is the opposite of, you know, that's not faith.
Right.
And he says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture.
Mm-hmm.
But again, trust in the Lord. That's how you get to dwell
Amen.
In the land. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And remember this morning, I looked that word up because
delight.
I was thinking,
it's not just the name of my great aunt
right.
Delight.
Aunt Delight. It's not just Aunt Delight.
It's not just Aunt Delight.
It means it has kind of several meanings, one of which is to be soft or pliable.
Yes, yes.
And I kind of think of that as like modeling clay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're clay in the master's hands.
Right.
We have to be pliable, which implies humble, teachable, and it also means just cheerful, just to be cheerful about the Lord. Instead of grumbling like the Israelites did so often in the wilderness, okay, be pliable in the Lord's hands, be cheerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as we're being molded, it's not always all fun and games.
No,
you
not
know,
at all.
You know, that can be painful sometimes, mm-hmm. especially if we resist at all. But as long as we're pliable, teachable,
right,
cheerful, I mean, trusting that God's got the outcome.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
what happens is fear gets in there,
right.
doesn't it?
Sometimes we don't trust God enough.
Right.
We don't trust that he hasn't dropped the ball, you know. And we're really going to have to believe that and believe what's in the word in the days to come. we don't have any choice. You know, we have to be strengthened. And then in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him. And this, I'm reading out of NIV, so it's a little bit different than what you did this morning. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn.
Yeah.
And your vindication like the noonday sun.
Oh, yeah.
If we commit our way
right
to Him, if we trust in Him, He's going to make our righteous mm-hmm. reward shine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's going to, and our vindication, we will be vindicated. I mean, we think right now, I mean, you know, one of the silliest things Jesus ever said was turn the other cheek. You know, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, right. That's the silliest thing anybody could ever say. But if we trust in God, our vindication will be like the noonday sun. We will be vindicated.
Amen.
Again, it's like, you know, what is it Paul says in Romans chapter 12 about, you know, just forsake wrath and, you know, let God do it.
Right.
God do it. That's what it's talking about here. We'll be vindicated. We just have to trust God and His timing.
Totally and completely. I love that. In verse 5, I don't know if I wrote this in the NIV or the New American Standard in my Bible. You just said it. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it, is what I've written in the margin of my Message Bible. The word commit there in the original Hebrew, and I've taught this for years, means palms down. So, and in the Message Bible, it's interesting. It says, open up before God and keep nothing back. So it's the same concept. When we open our hands, if you're holding something in your hand and it's a worry, it's a fear, it's a something that is driving you crazy. If it's in your grasp and you're grasping onto it and you're trying to make it happen and you're trying to fix it or whatever it is, when you commit in the original Hebrew, it says palms down. So when you take your hands and open them up, as the Message Bible says, open up before God, keep nothing back. So when you do palms down, what happens is whatever you are hanging on to falls down. It leaves your hands. You can't hold something if you do palms down with it, right? You can't hold it. There's no way to keep your grip. You have to commit it to God. That's what it's talking about here. And I believe that as discouraged probably as maybe perhaps Joshua and Caleb were when they had to end up going around that same mountain 40 years with everybody else, they had to have an attitude. Okay, God, you know, you got a purpose in this. Yeah, we're going to endure. We're going to go through this and endure.
They could look beyond the present.
Yes,
and see
the inheritance.
Yes. Their eye
yes.
on the prize, as it were. They could see beyond. I mean, and I mentioned that. That's God gave me that out of Psalm 84.
Right.
For my own situation, we're on a pilgrimage. We're on a
right.
journey.
Yes.
And they knew that. They knew that eventually they'd get their inheritance, and they kept their eyes on that.
Which I'll take here, and then we'll go to Betty here in just a minute. Let's go to Hebrews 12. 1-3, we never got there this morning. And I'm just going to read it in the NIV because it makes it so much more familiar to most people than in the Message Bible that I teach out of a lot. In the NIV, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, like worry, fear, control, whatever it might be. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. It's like Joshua and Caleb looking down the corridor of time 45 years later. And here they are, and they're getting their inheritance. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That'll preach, Betty. Woo! Get our eyes on Jesus.
Now that is
that is so true. Again, it's the endurance. It's the keeping our eyes on Jesus. And, you know, one of the things that became so apparent, you know, a couple weeks ago is that once you do take that opportunity to lift your hands towards heaven and you say, God, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. And I think that's what Caleb and Joshua were doing. Whatever, God, whatever you want, we're going to do it. No matter our age, no matter what our circumstances are, we are going to do it. And that happened to me, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, is I said, okay, God, I thought I was through. Basically, you know, there was no ministry for me. I was going to let go of a lot of things that he did not want me to let go of, but I thought he did. And then when you do what God tells you to do, you surrender and say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, the very day that I stepped off of that airplane, God sent me a message and said, there is, you know, I'm X amount of over 60 years old. There's still time.
Yes.
There is still time. There are still souls to win. There's still a race to run. You've got to run it. I said, well, Lord, you know, this girl don't run. But in the spirit realm, you know, in the spirit, we are strong.
Woo!
And when we have that faith and we have the availability to know that we have a God who saw the children of Israel through, he saw Joshua and Caleb through, he's going to see us through.
Amen.
No matter what we're going through and no matter what our age is, God still can use you, my one.
10,000 reasons for my heart to sing. More from Betty and PJ in just a moment. Rejoice with us on this wonderful song. You got a lot to be rejoicing about, dear one. Come on, rejoice during this song.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song. Sing your praise unending.
Worship your holy name. Oh, Lord, we worship you today. Lord, we just praise you from the bottom of our hearts, and we thank you for music like this that reminds us of your greatness and reminds us that we need to praise you no matter what is going on in our lives, that we need to take time to worship you, to draw close to you. And your word says you will draw close to us. And so, Lord, we thank you that as we talk today about the importance of your presence in our lives, the importance of being courageous, about being strong in you, getting in your word, that it's sinking in with our listeners and with all three of us, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Praise God. Talk to us, PJ. Wow, good stuff here.
Woo! Very good. And I love this. I love these verses here in Hebrews, because it refers back to chapter 11, all the heroes of the Old Testament, of their faith. And it says, you know, you said, let us throw off everything, because we all have that one thing that the devil knows we have that he likes to use to push our buttons. And the writer of Hebrews just says, throw it off. But again, it's that getting us out to get us in thing. Throw that off. But fix your eyes on Jesus. And the Greek word there means turning away from everything that distracts and really focusing in on Jesus. I love the way the NIV says, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And it says, you know, who for the joy set before him, Jesus could look beyond the cross. He endured the cross and the shame of it, and it was a very shameful death, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 3, consider him. Meditate on him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And that's kind of what we've been talking about this whole time. Endurance, not growing weary, not losing heart, staying in for the fight, being courageous, sticking it out, basically. I think too many times, either like we said earlier in the program, we get complacent and think this is just fire insurance, or there are those who believe, you know, I'm saved, I should never have another problem. And, you know, I think those...
That's not true either.
No, absolutely not.
No.
And I think people who have that,
yeah,
they're the ones that really get disillusioned, because
yeah,
I've yet to know a believer whose life was perfect.
No.
Mine has not been.
Nobody's,
you know,
is, no.
You know, since the day I met Jesus, it's not been perfect, but I've endured, and
right,
I've learned. I've been pliable,
right,
and teachable. You know, there were times when I got stiff-necked, and as Solomon said in Proverbs, don't do that because you get your neck broke.
Right.
You know.
There you go. There you go.
Turn to that rebuke or get your neck
broke.
Well,
it's interesting you bring up the word endurance, because I thought we were really going to hit that this Sunday, but I think that's going to be the conclusion next week of this series, endurance. But that is what we have to do. But I never know, do I? You're laughing at me right now.
I'm laughing at you.
Explain why you're laughing at me.
Okay, two reasons.
Okay.
First of all, I knew good and well this morning we wouldn't be done.
Okay.
You know.
No, I didn't feel like we'd be done. No, no.
You said, I think this might be the last
one. I did say that. I did.
Yeah,
no.
And secondly, yeah. you're going to plan this week and come probably Friday or Saturday, God's going to say, okay, let's go this direction.
Absolutely. But it's following the leading of the Holy Spirit, just like the children of Israel had to do. They had to follow that cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to keep going the right direction, right?
Oh, exactly. And it said when that pillar settled down, they didn't move.
Right. Take a nap.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and it said if it was a day, a week, whatever.
However
long they stayed.
Right. So, I mean, God's always a God of surprises. So, Betty, talk to us about all this that we're talking about. Yes, you got to have endurance. And yes, you have to fix your eyes on Jesus. And yes, you have to realize that when we really take time to trust in the Lord with all our heart, He's going to provide for us, and He's going to take care of our needs and all of that. So talk to us. BLT, Betty?
It's me.
Bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
Yes. One of the things that I think that we have to do is, you know, just like the Israelites did, is that when the cloud stopped, they waited. And that's what we have to do, because the Holy Spirit will tell us, be still and know that I am God. And because sometimes, a lot of times, we do a lot of talking, including moi. I do a lot of talking. And I've learned over the last few weeks is stand back and watch me work. Stand back and let me guide you. Let me give you the opportunity to do the thing I want you to do. Just don't go out headstrong. Like you talked about a couple of weeks ago, there, you know, at the worship at your house, is that, you know, I used to, you know, go headstrong, you know, full blast into something. And
well, you're talking about me. I admitted that, right? And I heard you and PJ. I heard your little amen from the back corner there. I heard you both like, well, she's finally seeing how when she gets an idea, she thinks it's good. She runs full speed ahead, right?
Yeah, but. You know, what was it that you said that God told you that if
He doesn't do it, it's not going to get done.
It's not going to get done.
Right.
And that's what we have to do. That's what I can't think that the Israelites had to learn. And this is a learning process. Being in God's army is a learning process. You have, you know, different, you know, there's different plans. There's different areas of worship. There's different areas of ministry that God wants us in. And we have to take the opportunity to keep our listening open for what God wants for us. And when we try to take control, we just kind of sometimes we falter. But if we let Him lead us in His timing, things are so much better. And I think that, you know, once the Israelites realized this, that, you know, God was talking, you know, to the leaders. He's talking to today, back then. He's talking to our leaders. We have got to pick up, you know, let's put our bootstraps, fasten our, get ready, people, for, you know, for a ride of a lifetime. You know, saddle up. Let's ride. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's quit being empathetic. Let's quit being bigots, like Pastor Jim said, you know, a few minutes ago. Let's quit meandering at the water fountain. Let's get our stuff together and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do?
Right.
You said this for months. Daddy God, hit the floor. What do you want me to do today? Where is it you want me to go? What do you want me to do?
Sure.
My life right now is in your hands. That's what the body of Christ has to say every day, maybe more than one day, but we've got to stay in the Word. We've got to start saying, thank you, God, instead of, I want this, I want that.
Right.
Thank you, God, for what I have and how blessed I've been, how blessed I am to know the people of Beacon of Hope, to, you know, have known you for so many years. Thank you, God, for the ministry that, you know, that the Holy Spirit provided for Pastor Jim and for those who have lost. It's amazing what God can do.
Amen.
When we let Him.
That's exactly right. I forgot to ask you, Betty, do you need to get off here right now to get to church?
No, today is Joe's birthday, so we're going to be staying home. The weather is extremely
bad.
Violent right now, so we're going to stay in the comfort of our home and celebrate tonight. So you have me till 5 if you want me on.
No, that's great. We do. You know, when you were talking just then, and yes, I did admit that in my sermon a couple weeks ago, that so often I've had a good idea and I just run with it, right? And God is saying, wait on me for my perfect timing, because it's his timing that makes a good idea really work, right? The other thing that's been on my spirit for the last few weeks, and it comes up and then I hear it and then I forget about it, and then it comes again. But it came to me again just then when you were talking, Betty. It's Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And this was so true with Joshua leading the children of Israel. Unless he got God's exact plan for the defeat of Jericho, it was going to be a slaughter, right? Unless he waited on God to get the plan. And that's why I've been saying lately that unless God does this thing of providing a place for Beacon of Hope, because we've outgrown where we are, unless God does it, it's not going to get done. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it in my own finances. I can't do it. Only God, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Psalm 127:1. And you know what? That so applies here, because Joshua and Caleb had to sit and wait for 40 years before they were allowed to go in and take the promised land. PJ, talk to us about that. That was not the timing they wanted. They wanted to go straight up and in.
Well, and a good example.
And conquer.
Exactly. A good example of that is Numbers chapter 14. God said, you're going to have to wait 40 years. And all the people mourned. They were very sad, obviously. Oh, Jiminy, I think we made a mistake. So what did they do? They decided to go on and attack one of the cities. They went up to the hill country. And guess what happened? They failed miserably.
Well, that's true. I read that the other day.
Moses didn't go up with them. Numbers. The ark didn't go up with them.
Numbers 14.
They acted in presumption instead of in faith.
They thought, there's no way we're going to sit around here and wait for a long time. Well, we're going to go do this.
They said, wait a minute, Lord, we're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry.
We'll do this now. We'll go on and conquer the land. And God had already said, no, you won't.
Right.
You know, no, you will not be the ones to do it. So they acted presumptively, and it was a big failure. And, you know, I think one of the devil's other tricks is to get us to rush ahead of God.
Oh, totally. Satan rushes, God leads. And right. I've been guilty in the past of rushing. I understand that concept. Satan rushes,
Satan,
God leads.
Satan will push us to do
Pushes us to, because he knows there's a pitfall that God is not right in.
And it doesn't mean what we want to do is bad.
I don't mean that it's bad. No.
But it's just not God's timing. And if it's not God's timing, then you're not going to get the perfect results. Just like the Israelites trying to do that. And for that matter, Jesus coming. And Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son.
Amen.
That was the perfect time, as you like to say, that kairos moment to come.
That word is actually, in the fullness, is the plero.
The pleroma of God.
Right, pleroma.
It was the fullness of time. It couldn't have happened any earlier.
No,
couldn't
perfect
have happened
time.
Any later. Mm-hmm. I look back on my own life, the day I got saved, really got saved, because, you know, it's like, I think we talked about this, I got saved every year I went to church camp.
Right.
But the year I really made a commitment to the Lord, it couldn't have been rushed. It was God's perfect timing.
Yes.
That day, for nobody else to be in the residence hall, the guy who led our Campus Crusade for Christ Bible study and I were out evangelizing, and here I wasn't even where I needed to be yet with the Lord. And it's like the rapture had happened and nobody was there.
Right.
So, you know, it was God's perfect timing.
Right.
But we can't rush it. I mean, I wasn't ready until that day, and God gave the opportunity, praise God, Roger responded and, you know, led me back to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
Praise God. God's timing. We're going to do, before we wrap up here today, we're going to do Press On by Selah. And that song gets me every time I hear it. But that's endurance, and that's what we got to do. And no matter what you're going through, dear listener, hang in there. Press on. Be strong. Be observant. Be alert. Be ready to hear God's voice. Be courageous. One of my favorite songs. Aren't they all? Praise God. Yes, we do. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. God, bow your head with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We find that strength to press on, even when we don't know how we have that strength. You are there because you are the strengthener. You are the one who causes us to be strengthened. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as we were talking about this morning in our service from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So whatever you're feeling right now, dear listener, no matter how weak you might feel, no matter how sick or tired or sick and tired you might be, God Almighty wants to come and strengthen you today and give you the ability to press on and become the soldier for God that He has desired for you to be. He wants you to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and He wants you to press on and not give up. So we pray strength for you today, listener. We pray that you will be filled to anew with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you will say, God, I want all you have for me. Fill me to overflowing with you, your presence. Fill me up with you so that I can have the strength to do what I am called to do. I want to press on and become all that you want me to be. If that's your prayer, tell God that right now, because He will strengthen you and make you very courageous. Woo! This we pray for you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Talk to us, PJ. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Wow.
Yeah. Can we get a third hour on this show?
Yeah, I guess we better. Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked up the clock. I thought it's just amazing.
I know.
But that song gets to me anyway.
Me too.
But it's we have to press on.
Yes.
If we don't go forward,
yes,
we're gonna end up going backwards.
Absolutely.
And you know, like I said earlier, wherever we go, we can elect to bring the kingdom wherever we go.
We can.
Through healing, through deliverance, through just teaching the word. I mean,
yes.
But that does take endurance.
It does.
I read through the Gospels. What did Jesus do? Before anything major happened, where was He? In the mountains praying. Yeah.
Resting and praying.
And that's so important. Having that communion with God, knowing God's presence through His word, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Being aware of that. And the Israelites had the visible presence of God with them.
Right.
Now, you'd think they'd be smart enough not to grumble and gripe, because that cloud was always there. It's not like it poofed away.
Right.
And then they grumbled. No, God's presence was right there. And, you know, we have His presence. That same, basically the same glory cloud lives inside of us.
Amen.
And I pray that God would give us all just a real awareness of that.
Yes.
Because we need to make sure we understand we're carrying God's presence wherever we go.
Amen.
What we do with that is up to us.
Right.
And Joshua and Caleb did what was right. They were steadfast. They followed the Lord wholeheartedly, to quote Caleb again.
Yes.
And that's what we need. That's what we have to do, especially now.
Amen. Woo, good stuff. Betty, a couple minutes there. Got to get out of here pretty soon.
Well, I tell you, time flies, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I wanted to kind of piggyback on off of what Pastor Jim has said is that he had posted something on his Facebook page that I stole. That when
I'm shocked.
Are you? When it's not in God's time, you can't force it.
Right.
When it is God's time, you can't stop it.
Boy, that's so true.
And
so
it is
true.
So true today, you know, is that, you know, children of God, we do have a race to win.
Mm-hmm.
And God is at the forefront.
Yeah.
He wants us to go forward. He wants us to push on. He wants us to press on. And we can't lose hope. We have got to say, you know, you have to remember, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in us.
Amen.
And if that's not enough to get your motor started, we're going to, you know, you may have to get yourself a tune-up.
Romans 8:11. Yep.
And it all boils down to is to have faith and be brave, be courageous, and keep the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your ears and eyes open to what He has for you.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He's never failed us yet, and He never will. His love endures forever. His mercy and grace are ever present before us. So don't lose hope. If you feel like you need to talk, send us a prayer request.
Right.
To bohmglobal.com and let us pray with you. Where two or three are gathered in His name, let us lift you up in prayer, and pray that the Holy Spirit will minister you, comfort you, and give you peace.
Praise God. Thank you, Betty Thomas, as always. Oh, you're wonderful. What a joy it is to have you on this radio team. Pastor Jim, too, my associate pastor, so amazing. Final thought, a real short one from you, PJ, and then Betty, if you have a final thought too, just a quick one before we get out of here. 2 minutes.
Endure.
Okay. There you go. Well, I think we're going to be talking more about that next week. Maybe we just have to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. All right, Betty, final thought.
Endurance.
Boy.
We've got to get fit in the Spirit, and, the only way we can do it is to be courageous and endure.
We're all on the same page, aren't we? Praise Amen. God. Praise Amen. God. Thank you, Betty Thomas. Thank you, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. What a joy to have both of you with us on this show today. As always, it's just great to be here, and we want to hear from you. We really want your prayer requests to come in. Prayers at bohmglobal.com, your praise reports, your thoughts, your comments, your questions, prayers at bohmglobal.com. That's the place to send them. Check out our website, bohmglobal.com. Do that. Check it out and see what this ministry is all about. Our slogan is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what we're all about. Where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's it. So if you're a hurting life, or you know someone that is a hurting life, it's time to get in the Word. We've got over 600 shows in the can, so to speak. So they're here. They're on podcasts, some of them here at tantalknetwork.com under Living the Good Life, or on our website, bohmglobal.com. We have hundreds there for you to listen to. So go there, bohmglobal.com. Go to the radio tab and start listening to the Word of God with these great music and everything. So we just encourage you, get in the Word. Get into Psalm 37 this week. There's so much there. If you need something to read, that is a great chapter for you to read and grab a hold of, and it will change your life. It really will. We were made to be courageous. I got to play that again. We were made to lead the way. That's what we're made to be. We could be the generation. This has been Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Betty Thomas, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock right here. That's you. You're meant to be courageous. Warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away.